Okay, so we are back for another episode of Drenched in Drama. How are you doing, Tiff?
I am super. How are you?
I sense the sarcasm, Tiffany. I was gonna say I need you to bring your A game, but really, I need you to bring your Q game.
Oh no, not
Oh.
QAnon.
Oh yes. It's that cheesy already. I'm really excited for this episode, if you can't tell.
I love it when I don't know what we're recording about because I'm so busy that I come and I find out and it's something like QAnon.
Yes, I think for QAnon and NT lawyer and just the blind items and cabal of it all, it's going to be such a good episode.
I'm well versed on QAnon. And if you remember, that's why I asked him the first time I ever spoke to him if he really believed that shit.
Yeah, because he does pander to the QAnon crowd. And we're actually going to go over a BuzzFeed article talking about that. Also, I found a couple articles on a website called Medium, which I had never heard of until today.
I have.
I also found a bunch of posts from Mr. Him on Medium as well.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
interesting.
I guess, like with conspiracies, I feel like if you even know who NT is, you've probably always been into conspiracies. QAnon became aware of it when I started listening to the QAnon Anonymous podcast, where they would kind of like dissect misinformation. I found it really interesting.
Like something I would have loved.
I mean, it's still on, Tiff. Like they still
Oh,
podcast.
nice.
I will send you the link to their podcast and I'll link it here. I actually have a couple of quotes from a specific episode they did that I found really poignant to all of this. And I'm going to read them to you because I found myself listening to an old episode of theirs and they were interviewing Marcus Gilroy, who's a professor, and he had written a book about fake news. And he said that I wanted people to understand that the problem is not really anything to do with news. That's really just the symptom. And actually, it's important for people to understand that this has a political and an economic kind of engine underneath it, which is more complicated. And the role of journalism is relevant enough for us to talk about. There is something there, but actually, this is a much broader problem that's to do with the kind of functioning of democracies themselves rather than the news. I felt like this is such a multifaceted, interesting subject that we could talk about forever, but why not just, encapsulate it all into a BuzzFeed article, right? How celebrity gossip site Crazy Days and Nights went QAnon. And this is a BuzzFeed article from 2021, so it's actually pretty recent. I'm just going to read a little bit through the article. This was written by BuzzFeed news reporter Katie Natopoulos. It states, "It was early June and penny fathering had finally had enough. I've been a faithful reader of this site since like 2008, but I have just about had enough of the QAnon garbage that gets posted lately. The very first post I read here was about Gary Busey trying to use gold doubloons as legitimate currency, and to be honest, I would just like more of that, please. Posted to the celebrity gossip blog Crazy Days and Nights, the remark distilled the frustration many readers had been feeling as scandalous tidbits of Hollywood intrigue got crowded out by what another longtime reader described as ludicrous QAnon horror stories lifted from Twitter."
Remember this time. Like, this is literally when I stopped following his shit. I told you that. He started going all QAnon crazy.
Yes, and I really didn't know what you were referring to be honest. I was just like, oh, that's cheap and gross. Like, he pandered to QAnon people. I don't want to think about that. And I kind of just like buried my head in the sand.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad. I mean, but he did admit to you like that he did it just for money. And so he doesn't.
At least he doesn't actually believe it.
Yeah. And
And
also,
he's just
like,
taking those idiots for money. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I like a good grift, but come on.
Yeah. If you're convincing yourself that it's Robin Hood, then sure, not Robin Hood.
No, there's a lot of mental gymnastics going into that. Also, the mind fuck of his podcast, like him presenting as somebody who's very almost liberal thinking when it comes to victims and Hollywood and things like that.
Yeah. It's interesting how in his real life he portrays himself as very liberal. I mean, he literally ran as a Democrat and plugged Bernie Sanders, you know, for his congressional campaign in 2018.
Hi, this is John Nelson, and we're at the Ventura County March for Our Lives, where we're joining all these high school students and other students who are sick and tired of having guns in the school. Part of my campaign is to have the national standard be like California standard. We're going to ban assault rifles. We're going to make background checks mandatory.
While he simultaneously on the internet was posting pro-Trump stuff, QAnon conspiracies. It's all so strange, the different ways he portrays himself. And then, you know, he had the Patreon, the podcast, because over there it was a different crowd than his QAnon. Like, it's just so weird.
Mm-hmm. Kind of different. I mean, you still got torn apart for mentioning Fox News in a negative light one time, but
that is true.
The article goes on to say the post Penny Farthing was replying to was a blind item claiming an actor had forced his friend to join a rape club. Commenters guessed it referred to Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. Another was an item about Bill Gates using the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to test experimental new foods on people in developing nations. Multiple posts have accused Tom Hanks, a frequent Q target, of licentious behavior on a yacht belonging to Hollywood mogul David Geffen. And an ongoing parade of posts described Hollywood stars abusing minors. Since 2006, people have come to Crazy Days and Nights for blind items that run the gamut from true, Kaylee Cuoco getting divorced, to ridiculous, Beyonce faked her pregnancies, to fantastical. Oh yeah, he swears that he really believes that one.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Too fantastical, Anna Wintour and Bob Marley had a secret baby together.
God. Jesus Christ.
I know. The site has a well-earned reputation for being both prescient and endlessly entertaining, so it was hardly surprising that its devotees were irked by blind items that seemed to refer to QAnon, the collective delusion that, I can't believe I'm writing this, a satanic cabal of Trump-hating, child-abusing, moneyed elites run... What the fuck is that? Moneyed is not a word. Moneyed elites runs American politics and media. Blind items are a form of gossip where the actual name of the person is left out and some form of the details are obscured. It's like a game. In the comments, readers can guess who celebrities might be. For example, this one named A-plus list foreign-born singer is about to release an album, Adele. This mechanism is oddly similar to QAnon's, which also involves a pseudonymous insider posting cryptic messages, drops, about famous people. There's a quote from somebody that says, "I stopped reading when the Q stuff started," a former CDAN fan told BuzzFeed News. "It's really disturbing to see the right-wing conspiracy theory bullshit show up in gossip." And it's funny, Tiff, because one of the messages that his wife had sent to me was like, he lies about everything. You know, he doesn't know any celebrities, right? And all I could think was like, of course, I don't think he knows any celebrities. Like, I know he's grifting. I thought that that was obvious to everybody. It's kind of like the psychic phone network.
It's all just insane and ridiculous. I don't understand how anyone can believe any of this.
Well, because I think there's enough real stuff sprinkled in and people like a good conspiracy. Like, it goes on to say, the reader is hardly alone in thinking there might be some weird political agenda behind negative items about celebrities from the political left. Chrissy Teigen, Tom Hanks, Robert De Niro, a poster to the pop culture message board Data Lounge, wrote, "The site is custom made for right-wingers, people who hate Hollywood and loudmouth liberals with a passion. That's indeed a common strategy by the alt-right to level pedophilia accusations at any detractor to destroy their credibility."
Yeah, it's kind of like incels on Discord, right? They all call each other pedos. Like, that's their thing. Pedo, pedo, pedo. So that's kind of like QAnon's thing. This person over here is making sense. Oh, they're a pedophile. Look at them. They're a pedophile, though.
Viewed through a political lens, QAnon is a far-right absurdity with a surreal and terrifying real-world reach. But viewed through a celebrity gossip lens, it seems to make a little more sense. Hollywood elites engaging in morally repugnant or taboo sex, facing no repercussions for bad actions, using their fame and money to silence those who might reveal their misdeeds. This is practically conventional wisdom. Gossip fans and QAnoners share a core belief that behind closed doors, celebrities are doing unspeakable things. Crazy Days and Nights might not be trafficking in hardcore Q dogma. Oh, well, they might be trafficking. We don't know. But there's a Q dog whistle.
Tell that to Cassandra's pictures.
Right? But there's a cue dog whistle somewhere in the background if you listen for it. And whether intentional or not, it is. It's made the long-running blog a favorite of actual QAnon adherents who use it as reinforcing their elaborate shared delusion. And that's not particularly surprising to NT, the name under which Crazy Days and Nights creator publishes. I have no doubt whoever came up with Q has read my site at some point, he told BuzzFeed News.
What a fucking narcissist.
You're not going to like the rest of this, Tiffany. NT, who purports to be an entertainment lawyer in Hollywood, started Crazy Days and Nights back in 2006. It has never had the name recognition of peers from the mid-aughts like Perez Hilton's blog, but it has a loyal cult following among gossip fans. Oh, well, that's not the first or last time we'll see him listed as a cult leader. Gen Z...
Oh my God.
Gen Z discovered the blog through TikTok, where some creators have gone viral for discussing its blind item posts. Anne Helen Peterson, a historian of celebrity gossip and former BuzzFeed News reporter, said it's not surprising that the readers of Crazy Days and Nights might also follow QAnon and vice versa. According to Peterson, blind item fans think of gossip as a puzzle they can solve. When you think of the people who love QAnon devouring those drops, that's what they love. There's pleasure in the analytical puzzle solving. And that translates very easily from the Save the Children or Q to Crazy Days and Nights. Problem is, there's a nasty gulf between the two. Celebrity gossip is typically harmless, though perhaps not for targeted celebrities, and unlikely to inspire a coordinated assault on the U.S. Capitol. Real Housewives fans probably wouldn't wear a horned bearskin headdress and carry a spear on a visit to Congress. But in Hollywood sexual harassment scandals, Crazy Days and Nights and Q found common ground. The real or imagined shitty behavior of powerful men. A weird thing happened post Me Too, where Crazy Days and Nights and old school casting couch stuff, which has always been at the core of Crazy Days and Nights, crossed paths with QAnon. Troy McGeady, co-host of the celebrity gossip podcast Beyond the Blind, said, and now they exist in the same world. So it's become hard to navigate, too hard for some. Did you know that they had interviewed Troy for this BuzzFeed article?
No, I did not.
Eventually, the tone shifted from being silly blinds about celebs being awful on sets or partying too hard or cheating to child abuse, yachting, sexual assault, and QAnon. One former reader told BuzzFeed News, "That's when I stopped reading." Tara was a formerly enthusiastic Crazy Days and Nights reader until the site's shift towards conspiracy turned her off. I started to feel that NT had an agenda or a value system that went beyond neutral reporting on celebrity hijinks. Yeah, basically the article goes on to say that NT was the best until he got Q-pilled, and NT has a more professional quibble with QAnon. The quality of the drops. What makes a good blind item is if you only have two or three possibilities, not 100, he explained. But with Q posts, you could go any direction with those. NT insists he's not a Q follower, though he did admit to being familiar with Q lore. Sure, I've seen some. It wasn't an everyday thing. It wasn't like I had an alert on my phone. So any appearance that Crazy Days and Nights has gone Q is really more of an issue of overlapping worldviews, he said. To Crazy Days and Nights, Hollywood is a liberal Gomorrah full of extramarital sex, child sexual abuse, cult recruitment, gold diggers, drugs, rape, and the misdeeds of hypocritical virtue signaling stars. To the QAnon deluded, it's pretty much the same thing. And anyways, it just talks a little bit more about like what goes into the mindset of somebody who believes conspiracies or even reads conspiracy celebrity gossip. And it ends with a quote from NT stating, "Do I believe the moon landing was staged? No, but I'm willing to listen to the arguments. I'm willing to have the discussion. It's Buzz Aldrin who will punch you in the mouth if you say it's fake."
Do I believe the moon landing was staged? No, but I'm willing to listen to the arguments. I'm willing to have the discussion. That is so funny coming from the guy who has an absolute heart attack, fakes a stroke, if he has to have any type of discussion. So, like, what does he mean he's willing to listen to the arguments? Like, the man can't even talk without collapsing into a puddle. And God forbid anyone challenge him on anything. So, yeah, no, dude, you're not willing to have the arguments. You're just willing to be a grifter.
It sounds like everybody who tried to confront him about anything having to do with me got blocked and deleted real quick. So pretty disrespectful. That I just couldn't believe that article. And I thought, you know what, that's going to be a super fun episode for us to do. But then I was doing some Googling, and like I said, I found all of these articles on Medium talking about the ethics of blind items, balancing privacy and public interest, your introduction into the world of celebrity blind items, just lots of weird, you know, stuff out there. A lot of writers have attempted to write about the misinformation and kind of like the intersection of all of these weird conspiracies and politics. You know, it does make me wonder, why are we so vulnerable to misinformation in the face of like an age where it is like really easy to access like somewhat reliable information? Like, I'm not gonna quote Wikipedia as gospel, but also, you know what I mean?
Well, you also have to remember, all of this comes with our own preconceived notions and biases as well. We're going to believe what we want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find a reputable source and what we consider to be a reputable source. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not everything is going to be a scientific, scholarly journal. People are going to go to don'tvaccinate.com and reference that as a reason for or against, like, whatever they find there. You know what I mean? So it doesn't even have to be anything beyond an opinion, because you're going to look for things to validate your own opinion a lot of the time.
Oh, definitely. And I think a big part of that is like the social aspect of this, right? Like, how I think that there's an element of conspiracies and misinformation that can even just boil down to things that are as simple as like your social environment and not wanting to cut people out of your circle or make enemies, or, you know, just like keeping things copacetic at work. And I think all of that plays a factor. You're totally right. I had found, this is another quote from Marcus Gilroy. And again, like, I'm going to attach the episode that I took this from QAnon Anonymous, but I thought it was so important that I transcribed it so that I could read it to you. And it says, against the backdrop of fake news, we tend to talk about misinformation and disinformation as a very specific type of problem that certain people are responsible for online. Extremist big tech Russians or unreliable social media users who are apparently stuck in echo chambers. At the very least, any threats posed by these villains turn out to be more nuanced. But there is also the case to be made that this is an incredibly selective, exaggerated, and at times disingenuous understanding of misinformation and disinformation that has risen in response to highly specific historical conditions. If we're going to talk about misinformation, disinformation, there needs to be an honest engagement with the ways that power and the shiny, appealing, market-driven forms it has assumed in the 20th and 21st centuries. It has wormed its way into our lives, invited us to participate, and guided what we know and believe and accept about the world we inhabit. And I just thought that was such an interesting statement, and it's very true. I'm not trying to say that celebrity gossip blogging is responsible for, you know, bad actors in politics, but what I will say is that we do have to look at the fact that this misinformation, it does have an effect on society.
I'm not saying anything about the politics part, but
what would you call it when somebody is intentionally spreading information that is incorrect because they have like their own personal agenda, like maybe they hate women or something? Like, what is that called?
So that's disinformation. So okay. The disinformation is when someone intentionally spreads that information. Like, they are intending to deceive.
So, like, if I heard something horrible about a woman that I took to be true, and then I said it on my podcast, you know, like, about some actress, would that be disinformation or what would that be?
That would be misinformation.
So essentially, spreading these blind items is me spreading misinformation.
Correct. But what those blind items are doing, if they are made up by that person, whomever they're made up by, if they're not true, period, that is disinformation. Like, all misinformation has a starting point.
Very interesting. I think that there's so many things that play into what shapes our opinions, conspiracies, ideas, what we're interested in. And we have to look at the way society conditions us to think and how we condition ourselves to think, because ignorance is bliss. And I think to a certain extent, people have to protect themselves and their own minds. And for our own sake, like I said earlier, especially within like family dynamics and community dynamics, we have an entire history of advertising and propaganda that we can actually reference, and all types of research that we can actually look at to dig even deeper into all of this. I mean, I don't think that gossip or disinformation or misinformation will ever end. I think it's just one of those things that's been happening since the beginning of time, and it'll just continue to happen. And I find it extremely fascinating. It is sad because, like I kind of brought up at the beginning of the podcast, I mean, on one hand, I relate it to like blind items and Nickelodeon and things like that. But for you, it has kind of more real world consequences where, like, you're a nurse and now you're having to deal with an unwillingness to engage in reality that can actually become dangerous. So,
yeah, no, it does become dangerous. It becomes dangerous all the time. Example, when they were saying that doctors and nurses were making up COVID and they were killing people. There you go. How much hate did I get from QAnon people on the internet during COVID?
A lot.
Because I was an ICU nurse.
Exactly. I mean, and instead of listening to somebody who's an educated nurse, there's people out there who would rather honestly like listen to the opinions of people that have been platformed or glorified by like a secret insider who purports to be within the inner circles of Hollywood, and like this anonymous figure who's exposing the dark side. The internet, you really, and especially blind items and especially celebrity gossip, you have to tread with caution and skepticism. It's this like clandestine realm where nothing is as it seems. And this anonymity behind people who spread disinformation online and these blind items provide a shield for misinformation to propagate and thrive. It can definitely be a double-edged sword. It's intriguing and it's treacherous. But I'm happy we did this episode. But like I said, I feel like there's so much more that could be said about even just like individual narratives of disinformation that, in my opinion, have been spread through celebrity gossip blogging throughout the years. And maybe those are side episodes that we'll get into eventually. But I'm glad we were able to do this one at least and kind of go through this BuzzFeed article. But all in all, like at the end of the day, Tiff, I mean, did you ever really think that any of the blind items were real? Or, I mean, I know you said you fell off when he started talking about like trafficking and like the hardcore Q stuff. But like, in for the most part, I always believed that all of it was a grift and I didn't really take it seriously. So, I mean,
I think you just don't like to live in that world in general. You know what I mean? You like your little like Nickelodeon 90s corner over there, and you don't want to know about the big, bad, dark world because it sucks.
Well, I don't know. One thing NT said was pretty funny when he was like, I have no doubt whoever came up with Q has read my site at some point. Ron Watkins. I mean, he was the site administrator of 8chan, and he's credited with starting QAnon.
Yeah, but what happened to him?
Last year, he was running for the Republican primary in Arizona. So I don't know. Maybe this is who like NT models himself after. I don't know. Weird. Anyways, everybody, like I said, check out the QAnon Anonymous podcast. I thought it was really good. I especially enjoyed this episode that I pulled the quotes from to read to Tiffany. And I'm going to link the episode when I post this. It'll be on our Patreon. If you're hearing this on Spotify, you should come join our Patreon. We also have a TikTok and Instagram. We're pretty much on every social media. We will be doing a court update on the Patreon, and we'll also be doing a Q&A episode. I feel like I can say that at any time that anybody's listening to this, we're probably doing a timeline and a court update. So head over there and check it out. Otherwise, we will talk to you guys again soon. Later.
Bye.